This morning, I want to briefly share with us on what I title From Promise to Covenant. Please, I want to give me your ears and give God your ears. From God's promise to God's covenant. Hallelujah. I have this deep knowledge in me that today, what is troubling you shall be troubled by Jehovah God. Bible scholars said that the scriptures contain over 800 promises of God. The Old Testament alone contains more 8,000. Old Testament alone contains more than 6,500 to 7,000 of it. Promises of God. And Hebrews 10 verse 23 tells us something very clear. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Can you say a loud amen to that? So the one that gave us the promise is what? Is faithful. So we can hold fast on it. And it's called a profession. You know, like you have legal profession, medical profession, educational profession. He said our faith is what? A profession. We should hold that profession tight. For he that gave us the profession and he that has promised us in that profession is what? Is faithful. Isaiah 34 verse 16 puts it this way, and I like this one. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, which means search the Bible. No one of these shall fail. Can you say a loud amen to that?
Amen.
Say, search out the Bible and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, which means none shall lack the result that follows it. No promise will lack performance. Seek it, go and search it, he said. Search the law. Read it for yourself. No one of these shall fail. None shall want the result. None shall want her mate. Why? For my mouth has commanded it. And his spirit, my spirit will gather them together. So whatever is your expectation, if the mouth of God spoke it in the Bible, his spirit will bring it to come to pass. Can you shout a loud amen to that?
Amen.
And never you finish when God has not finished. Because sometimes something will happen, we say, it's over. It's not over until it's over. He said, what my mouth has spoken, he said, my spirit will do what? We gather. I pray for you today. All that belongs to you, that the mouth of God has spoken through his written word, through his prophets, I declare, God's spirit will gather it for you.
Amen.
I say, God's spirit will gather it for you.
Amen.
In this experience, there shall be a gathering. They were in the wilderness, very, very tormented, hungry. The scripture says that the spirit of God went out and gathered quails for them. What you cannot do for yourself, in this month of June, God's spirit will do it for you.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, let's get this clear now. When you have a promise, what do? You pray. You expect. You wait. That's it. But I want to shock you with an interesting truth. The promises of God in the Old Testament was a promissory note. It was a post-dated check. In Christ Jesus, it is cash. So all the Lord promised in the Old Testament as post-dated, because he will say, until the Messiah comes. Now the Messiah has come. We don't have a post-dated check. We don't have a promissory note. What do we have? Cash. And I will show you a mystery today. And I pray you will comprehend it and understand it. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things. Say the Amen. Who is talking? Who is talking? Jesus. What did the Bible call him? The Amen. So Jesus is what? The Amen. What is Amen? It is done. It is done. His name is It is done. Which means all God has been promising in me, it is done. Another angel of the church, the Laodiceans, write these things, said the Amen, the faithful and true witness. How would the Bible call him? The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. Lift down towards heaven. Say to me, Jesus Christ is my Amen. Say, Jesus Christ is my Amen. Say again, Jesus Christ is my Amen. Say, Jesus Christ, it is done. It is done. It is done. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in who? In Christ Jesus. All the promises of God in him are yes. And in him is, it is done. Under the glory of God by us. So all that God promised us in the Old Testament, in the entire Bible, when you turn to Jesus Christ, what happens? It is done. It will not be done. It is done. Is the answer is with you. He is the Amen. Let me put it in a language that we can understand it. The government said they will pay arrears of all pensioners. It's announced on radio. That's the good news to the pensioners. They'll be thanking God, calling their friends, telling them, we have a promise from the governor. This governor is a lot governor. He will do something about it. He said he will pay us. He will pay us. That's a promise. That's a promise. You can bank on it. You can plan on it. But somebody calls you on phone. They have paid the money. So go to the bank and present requisite documents and collect it. You are not going to be praying for the money to be paid anymore. Why? It has been done. But yet it's not in your hand. There are things to do what? To, even though it has been done. In Christ Jesus, all the promises God made has been deposited. Now, take the requisite documents and do what? Collect it. It's no more God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where are you? Come and serve me. Come and help me. Don't forget me. The approach is now different. For in him, all the 8,000 promises are yes. It is done. It is the dimension believers have not entered into. We still pray and beg God to give us what he gave us already in Christ Jesus. And that makes the prayer weak. There's a big turn from the new to the old, from the old to the new, but people don't know about it. Many believers. And sometimes I feel the pains in me when I see believers toiling over what they have already. And I've shared with some, they say, it's not easy. Not that way you talk it, Pastor. That is not that way you talk it. But that's the way it works for me. And that's the way it ought to work for everybody. For all the promises of God in Christ Jesus is what? Yes. It is what? It is done. Amen. It's done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What of the promise that said, none of the diseases that come upon Gentiles that come upon you? What do you say to it? Amen. Yes. It is done. Yes, it is done. What are the promises that said in Deuteronomy 28? He said, you shall not be the tail, you shall be the head. What's your answer to it? Yes, it is done. Let me tell you this. You shall be the head, not the tail. Does not mean you go and start trying to pull down your leaders where you walk and become the head. No. You can be the least person there and yet the head. I'm telling you the truth. I saw one that happened right here in this ministry. One of us here was a janitor, a cleaner in one of the ministries in Enugu here. And yet, the commissioner respects him more than his permanent secretary. How do I know? Because the woman knows what the leaders don't know. And brought the commissioner here to the office to see me. The commissioner complained to him and said, "Madam, this problem I've been facing, and I don't know how to handle it. I've been trying to solve it." He said, "Look, I'll take you to my pastor. Let's just go and see him. You will be okay. You will be okay." The woman, a cleaner, brought commissioner to my office. And the problem was solved. You go to the office, you see the woman cleaning. He is the head. Are you hearing me now? She's clean, but she's what? She's the head, she's not the tail. If you think she's the tail, try her and know that she's the head. From today, wherever you are, you'll be the head. And not the tail. What happened? The woman had something the commissioner wants. He said, "He's the most sincere person I've ever seen." He said, "This woman is a Christian to the core." He said, this woman, I see this woman praying for me. So the woman has some qualities that made her the head. Lift your hand towards heaven. Say, "Anywhere I appear, I am the head. I'm not the tail. I will distinguish myself there in the name of Jesus Christ. Because in Christ Jesus, all the promise of God, yes, amen." Shout the loudest, amen. Isaiah 54:17 said, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." What is your answer to it? Yes. Yes, it is done. I am waiting for that time where believers will lift up their holy hands in the midst of threats. Instead of crying, "Oh God, come and save me. God, don't forget me. God, protect me. Oh God, oh, have mercy on me." They lift their holy hands saying, "Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I know it. I know it is done already. I know it, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Thank you, Lord Jesus." Because when you give thanks, it means you've received it. You don't thank what you don't have. To give thanks means it's already in your hands. When you begin to pray like this, I guarantee you, your enemy will bow for you. If he's aware that you have received the thing you were asking for, he will leave you alone. But if he sees you crying for it, he will say, "Let him keep crying. Very soon his faith will fail." Because expectation delayed does what? That's what the Bible says. It weakens the heart. But when the enemy knows that you have received the thing that you are praying for and you are saying it, he will be shocked. From today, it is done. I said it is done in Christ Jesus. 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 It's done in Christ Jesus. Now, I share with you a testimony here, which I heard from somewhere, of a woman who the mother-in-law, one woman like that, in the family had been tormenting over childbirth. This woman is a witch. Make sure that this woman will never conceive. And this one is not those ones that people pretend and lie. This one is true. The woman is really a witch. After that woman. After a while, he will call. "Sister, how are you now?" The woman said, "Well, we are still believing God. We are still expecting." I say, "Okay." Another day we call. One fateful day, he had a teaching like this. The woman called again. "How are you today?" He said, "God has done it. God has done it. God has done it." When she said that, this other woman on the other side of the phone slumped and died. Because he said the truth. What's the truth? God. What is the truth? If the hand and declare it is done. Now, mention the matters that you are crying about and say, "God has done it. God 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 has done it. Emma Lokopotosiada. God has done it. God has done it. La Rochette, I am not crying about it again. God has done it. I am not crying about it anymore. I know God has done it. I may not have seen it with my eyes, but God has done it. Labaronte poshale. Hey, all the promises of God in Him, in Christ Jesus, everything God promised us in Christ Jesus is yes, it is done. Yes, it is done. Yes, it is done. Yes, it is done. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some time ago, my wife was very sick. I said to me, pray. Daddy, you're not praying. This sickness is getting worse. I said, God told me he's done it. He said, he told he has done it, but I'm still very sick. I said, God told me he has done it. And I mean it. How do I know? The scripture says, for he himself took my infirmities. If he took it, present or past tense, he has done it. By his stripes, I was healed. Present or past tense, he has done it. He has done it. If that was heaven, say, I believe that God has done it. Say again, I believe that God has done it. Say, I believe that God has done it. Say again, I believe that God has done it. For your information, it doesn't come late. Whenever he comes, he can start a story from another direction. You can close the story on this side. You think it's closed. He opened it up from this other side. Don't conclude. God is faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And I like what Acts 17:28 said, that in him we live. So the question of whether we are in him, because the Bible said the promise of God where? In him. Is yes. Not outside him. In him. In him. In him. And where do we live? In him. For in him we live. In him we walk. We move. In him we have our being. So where do I exist? Where do I exist? Say with me, I exist in Christ. Say again, I exist in Christ. Say again, I exist in Christ. One of the most embarrassing and tormenting mentality of Christians is the mentality of the absence of God. The average believer thinks that God is absent. And you see it in his behavior. For example, he can do one funny thing as if God is not watching him. He can do one funny thing and start still coming out and be smiling as if he didn't do anything. He can do one bad thing. But God is present. God is present. But where it manifests more is in their prayer. Oh God, come down and manifest your power. Come from where? But in him you live. In him you walk. But your mind is telling you he's not present. Because of that, everything, you are locked out of his presence. Where were you before? Where were you before? I'm not saying that in a sense it's good to know that you are in God's presence. But that sense of you are coming from somewhere. Father, as we close this meeting, as we leave your presence, we are not leaving your presence. Which one are you talking about? You are confusing yourself already. In him we live. In him we walk. In him I move. I'm moving now. Where am I moving now? In him we have our existence. So when that consciousness comes to you, faith becomes. Because faith is automatic when you are aware that God is present. From today, in your life, God's presence shall be real. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I will show you something that touched me that will help us to pray this morning. Because When we should be forcefully taking what is provided, we are still crying for it. But hear the scripture. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist, until now, until when? The kingdom of heaven suffereth what? Violence. And the violent take it. How? This scripture is amazing. Do we have some violent people here? You see, the problem is that you are violent in claiming your carnal rights. A woman just mistakenly left his bowl of water in front of your own door in your public yard. Hey, who does this thing? You think it's your right? It's your own frontage. You are violent in claiming your physical right. What am I saying? Trespassing to your land. Because you think it's your right. When it comes to your spiritual right, oh God, where are you? Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. But the violence from the days of John the Baptist it started. Which means before John the Baptist, it was not like that. People used to pray to God, oh God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, come and help us in this war. Let them not defeat us. That was the way it used to be before. But from the days of John the Baptist, it is not the praying people that get it. It's the pressing people that get it. For the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, you see, I was studying deeply around this thing. I saw the word used there, take by force, is a word biazo. Biazo is a Greek word meaning to use force. Biazo is B-I-A-Z-O. Just like we have an akazo for those of you who have passed through our school. Biazo means to use force. It means to use force. It means to break into something by force. It means to lay hold on by force. So the violent take it by force. I want to ask you, in your community, in your environment, around where you live, in your village, do you have people that are called no-go areas? Do you have people like that? Say, nah, across the line, onya o, ona egu kwe egu. Oke juwa gimbe pepe soup. Just chakwaro onya o, ona na eri kwe na eri o. Hallelujah. That's the way you ought to be spiritually. Satan, his agents should know you are a no-go. Yeah. Africa said, chakwaronya, not you are dangerous. Say from today. Say from today. In the name of Jesus, all that belong to me in Christ Jesus, I will take it by force. Say from today, all that belong to me in Christ Jesus, I will take it by force. From today, all that belong to me in Christ Jesus, I will not pray about it. I will not wait for it. I will collect it by force. To forcefully break into something. Biazo. That's the word. The strongest word you can use in terms of breaking into something. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. It will help you understand now. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. What is he saying? He's saying that the kingdom is no more a prophecy to wait for. It is here and now. Break into it. Enter into it. Collect your own. What is he saying? Because the prophets and the law prophesied where? Until when? And this is a shock now. It means we do not really need the prophecies per se now to lay hold on what belonged to us. For they prophesied unto John. But after that, a new era entered where people are not waiting for prophecies to be fulfilled, but knowing that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all prophecies, and they walk into him and collect what is theirs by force. I'm seeing somebody here today. You will use force. You will use force. And I will show you exactly how to do it. Do you want to know how to do it? But you have to be violent first of all in your heart. This man you see here is very, very calm. Some people say he's a cool guy. Some people say he's quite a fault. Some people say he talks so, but he talks only in the altar. All manner of things. It's okay. But it is not when my spiritual rights are... you cross my spiritual rights, you find out that this guy is very, very violent. The roaring alone, you know that this person does not play with his rights. From today, no idiot will cross around your right and go scot-free. In the name of Jesus Christ, no wicked demon will collect what God has given you and you watch him just like that. The violent, take it. How? By force. By force. By force. By force. In case you are like, he didn't really mean by force, like some other translations make it look mild. Look at Luke 16. 16. You not catch what he's saying. Watch it now. The law and the prophets were prophesying and lauding unto John. Pastor Dan translation. The law and the prophets were at work until when? John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. So to enter the kingdom or to have the kingdom play around you is by press. By pressure. There's no other way to enter. You can't stroll into it. Since Jesus came, nobody strolled into the kingdom. Nobody carelessly entered the kingdom. No, sir. You have to press and enter. And from today, you will press and enter the kingdom of God. You will press and enter your place. You will press and have your miracles. In the name of Jesus. From Jesus' time, why press? Many people are on the queue. As I'm talking now, many will receive the miracles today. Some will not receive it. Why? They didn't press. Jesus is still that one man. Anywhere he goes, there's a press. Only those who press harder collect. Since Jesus came now, the game changed. It's now for pressers. For pressing champions, giants, not praying warriors, prayer warriors. Pressing giants. Those who can press, we press into it. I'll give you an example. When Jesus came, anywhere he comes, there is usually a pressure. Are you aware of that? That's why I jokingly said to you the other day in Fet Extra, I said, wake up early and pray. The traffic is high. You didn't hear me now? I said, wake up early and do what? Pray. Say, this is your prayer by 6:30 to God in the morning. It's already late. The traffic is very, very high. A lot of people are on queue. Because since the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom is for pressers. Wake up from your sleep and press in when there's time. Hear me. If there's no press, there's no answer. Jesus' time. It's not for those who cry more. They used to cry in the olden days, the Old Testament. But for now, it's not for criers. It's for pressers. Say with me, I will press. Second, I will press. Second, I will press. Just I was going was somewhere. Somebody told him, my daughter died. My daughter is just dead now. Please come, oh, come and lay hands on him. Jesus was going to raise the daughter. No, he said he's very sick. Of a 12 years girl that died. That is very, very sick. Jesus was already going there. And the Bible said there was what? A press. People, we are pressing for their own need. You said your daughter died. Your own daughter is dead there. What are my own problem? Me, I'm having stomach ache now. Jesus is going for something. I have to get my... So everybody was pressing. He's here again. Somebody has to press. There's no other way. He says from John's day till now, only pressing works. A woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years old girl, dead. 12 years hemorrhage, which means the day that, the year that child was born, or the year this woman began to have a hemorrhage, bleeding. The woman came in. And you understand the story. He's not supposed to even come out by law, by the Jewish law. Number two, if you have been bleeding for 12 years, I can see how strong you are. Are you hearing me now? So now to make his way in that press. The Bible says he pressed and touched the hem of his garment. Where did he get the strength to press? The scripture says that when the Messiah shall come, he will be the son of righteousness and will have healing in his wings. And that thing they put attached to their cloth, the Jewish rabbi, is called the wings. It looked like a rope. So they'll be healing his wings. The woman read it, and that revelation gave her strength to do what? To press. People of God, the revelation you get from God's word is to strengthen you for pressing. He drew strength from that revelation and was pressing to do what? To touch Jesus, which means after, catch this now, after revelation, there must be an action. Revelation gives you the strength to take the action. Revelation is not the answer. The answer is the action born of revelation. The woman knew, and he pressed into that crowd and touched Jesus. The scripture said, the flow of blood stanched. Jesus said, somebody has touched me. Peter said, no. See the crowd, everybody's trying to touch you. He said, one person pressed. Others were just touching. Someone here, you will press. I said, you will press. Say with me today, if Jesus don't touch me this morning, say it. I will touch him. Jesus was going to touch a girl that was sick. That was where he was going. A woman by the side touched. So whether Jesus wants to touch me, I want to touch him, touch his touch. It's our contact, is it not? Whether naked wire touch you or touch naked wire, what will happen? It's empty. Praise the Lord. So it is something. So if Jesus is not touching me, maybe I'm not in his agenda today. I will touch him. It's obvious that Jesus, that woman was not in his agenda. He was going somewhere. But the woman pressed. Say again, I will press. I've seen this thing happen in my own ministry and it touched me. And I shared it with you some time ago. I don't know whether it's here or not. Where I was in Liberia and I was hosted by a woman and a husband. The man was an importer to the president, then Charles Taylor. That was the time Charles Taylor was deposed. So he imported a lot of furnitures for Charles Taylor that the presidency could not claim. So he used it to furnish his house. So his house was like presidential villa. That was how I was hosted. The bed was presidential, cutlery's presidential, so I was enjoying presidential treatment. Well, here is the twist. In the morning, I came out. I said, I'm going to the schedule. This I said, I'm going to preach. I was like, Oga Wilmot. His name is Wilmot. In case he hears me on television, we are on the internet, you know. I said, Mr. Wilmot, where is your driver?
to take me to where I want to go now. I'm going to this other church. He said, sorry, pastor. Madam says he's going to drive you. So, madam, drive me. See this woman. Elegant. Beauty queen. I said, you say, madam, you're going to drive me. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I don't know that. I cannot come from Nigeria here to come and enter into trouble. I said, sorry, sir. Yeah, madam, cannot drive me. Okay, let us go with other people. He said, madam said, only her alone. We're driving you alone in her own car to wherever you want to go. I said, God, deliver me in Jesus' name. I said, but is she not working? Will she go to work? He said, no. She said, this week I'm going to be in Liberia. She has suspended all her work. He said, her job is to drive you. I said, and you approved it? He said, yes. I said, okay, no problem. After I prayed, my heart, peace in my heart. Before I come down from upstairs, the woman was already standing by the car with the key. He said, pastor, are we ready to go? I said, yes, let's go. He said, enter. I enter the back. She moves. Did it for the first day, second day, third day, throughout the day. She would drive me and bring me back home and eat, drive me again. They took me to a church. That was a Sunday morning now. That should be the third or fourth day. Very large church. They gave me a mic. The first word that came out of my mouth was this. There's a woman here. You have been bleeding for 12 years. But today, that bleeding is gone. Church shouted, amen, amen, amen. We closed the meeting. The woman entered the car and drove me again. I did not know that this woman has been bleeding for 12 years. Her own hemorrhage. Women last 3 days, 4 days, worst 5 days, but it don't last for 12 days, 13 days. Of not small bleeding, heavy bleeding. We use multiple pads. And the husband is very rich. They've been in Germany, they've been in Italy, they've been in UK, US, they've seen the best doctors globally to no avail. So I didn't know the woman said in her heart, if I will drive this pastor, and she didn't want to tell me anything, I'm not aware. So that day we left the church. I went home. Nothing was told. No story. We just had a beautiful day. The following day, then I had a banquet. They said, Pastor Dan, we've got it. I said, what did you get? He said, hey, my wife has been like this for 12 years. And yesterday was the third day of this heavy bleeding. And this is what happened yesterday being Sunday. And this morning, there's nothing. The woman is totally clean. People of God, Pastor Dan is not aware. So you don't say that because I have faith. It was not my faith. Which means I didn't touch her. She touched me. If I had faith, I said, in Jesus' name, I command the bleeding, stop. Then it is my faith. But this one is that I didn't touch her. She touched me. People of God, hear me. That's what is called pressing. Pressing is action taken because you believe. Somebody here today, you will take an action. I said you will take an action. I said you will take an action. A man built a house for God. And he's not a Jew. So the servant was very sick. They came to Jesus. Jewish leaders came with him. This man is a healer. Let's go and meet him. They don't even believe he's a prophet of God. He's the one sent by God. Let's go and meet him. They say the big man in the Jewish religion. Rabbi, you know we have been afraid of talking to you. We don't trust your ministry, but we can see the healing ministry taking on, going on around you. He said, this man now built a house for us. He built synagogue for us, a church for us. So we think that this man deserves to receive the miracle. Jesus said, it is done. Because the man pressed with his substance. People of God, you will press into something this month. In the name of Jesus Christ. Action taken because you believe God. Action taken. He stopped the crowd.
and pressed in because he built a house for God. Have you heard about blind Bartimaeus? This one have heard the stories that the Messiah is the son of David and is aware that David was a compassionate king. David was extraordinarily compassionate. So when he heard that Jesus was passing, his name is called blind Bartimaeus. When your name is not linked to your problem, there is a real problem. When they say, that Okonkwo, Nana Junction, that beggar in the junction, that's you are now known for that problem. Blind Bartimaeus was the name. Popular for being blind. But he was by the wayside. He was a public place begging. And he heard, guru, 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 guru. Because anywhere this man is going, there's a crowd. That's why you are here today. If I say all of you now, touch me all of you now, there will be a problem. Always a crowd, whoever it is. The man heard the noise. Guru, 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 guru. He said, what is going on? I'm hearing noise. It's as if a crowd is passing. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, that guy, which is from Nazareth. We are not sure he's the prophet of God because he came from Nazareth. The Bible says he should be from. He said, no. I'm hearing stories about that man. He's the Messiah. He's the son of David that we're expecting. He's aware that mercy is passing by. The mercy of David was passing by. He was aware of that. He used what he has. Are you hearing me now? He used what he has. Please hear me. God is not expecting you to do what you cannot do. I don't know what people feel like. Hey, I don't have money. Now, if I have money, I would give it to God. He's not expecting you to give money if you don't have money. You will give what you have, but give the one you have. So the action you take, it depends on what you have available to you. This man have a revelation of the son of David and has a mouth. Even though he's blind, he can talk. If you don't have money, what can you do? If you don't have leg, do you have hand? Are you hearing me now? If you don't have ears, do you have eyes? So this man used what he has. He's not dumb. He's only blind. He shouted, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The noise was too much. Someone here will make a noise according to your strength. Somehow you will do something. Say, I will do something. Say, God, give me grace. I will do something. I believe your word. I will do something. Say, I believe your word. I will do something. He pressed with his voice and his noise. They said, shut up, shut up. He shouted all the more. Doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know where the guy is. But he knows that somehow the man is somewhere around. When you don't see Jesus, it doesn't seem as if you see Jesus around. Shout. He will hear you. He cried. Mercy is passing by. I will not miss it. Today, the mercy of David is here again. Amen. You will not miss it. Amen. Jesus said, call him for me. They said, shut up your mouth. Keep quiet. You're blind. Go. Jesus said, call me that guy. Bring that guy to me. The Bible says he ran to Jesus. How did he see Jesus to run to him? When faith is walking, you don't miss your target. He ran towards heaven. Say today. Say today. I will press. Say today. I will not miss my place. Today. I will press. In the name of Jesus Christ. I will end with this as we pray. Do you know that when you do what the scripture recommends for you to do about a promise of God, that promise turns to a covenant? Did you catch me now? Should I say it again? When the scripture tells you what to do, when you do that thing he tells you to do about that matter, it turns from a promise of God to what? A covenant. Because God made a promise.
and gave a way to it. If you fulfill that way to it, it is not my promise. It is not appealing anymore to God's mercy only. It's now also hanging on his integrity. Because God is not a man. He will defend his word. But many conclude that God did not answer them when they have not done what he told them to do. They judge God unfaithful when they have not done one thing God prescribed for them to do. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. You have not said you are strong. And they're judging God unfaithful. There's someone here today. The promise of God upon your life, which you have heard God say to you by vision, by revelation, by the written word of God, today that promise shall be turned to a covenant. In the name of Jesus Christ. So you're going to press. I will tell you what one man did. Funny enough, but it worked for him. In a church like this, meeting like this, prayer was going on. The pastor said, ask anything that is your need. God will hear you. One young man was praying for 20,000 naira house rent. Oh God of heaven, 20,000, they will chase me out tomorrow. Oh God, do something, do something, do something, do something. His noise was so high. Here was this big man. You know, in church like this, we don't select one heavy man like that, a contractor with the federal government, looking for 500 million naira contract. You know, the heavy man, you know, they don't talk too much. You know, they don't shout too much. Their prayer is very, Father, this contract, thank you, Lord Jesus. Make a way for me. The government said, Jesus! Jesus! This man said, what problem is this? What problem? God can't even hear me. See, this guy is really, really praying. He's really, and God will answer him fast now. And me, I will stay here. He put it in his pocket. 20,000. So it's 20,000. He said 20,000. Keep quiet. Hallelujah. Say, take 20,000. Isn't 20,000? Just take it. So I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, just keep quiet now. So if you like, join me in my own now. Hallelujah. I'll ask you, whose problem can you quiet for your own to be heard? Let us pray. Let's pray. Open your mouth and talk to God. Hayadabasia. Open your mouth and talk to God. I will press. Open your mouth. I don't know how you want to press, but press with whatever you have. If you have money, press with money. If you have time, press with time. If you have something to do, whatever you can do to touch Jesus, whatever you can do to touch Jesus, do it. Whatever you can do to touch Jesus, do it. Now we are doing EEE. We are doing evangelism. Do you know you can touch Jesus through evangelism? Touch him like that. I will press. 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 Embala toko basotale akala baba shate eko polo so predeha. I will press. Open your mouth now and press. To press is to take action, to say something, to do something. Say something. Let the weak say, I am strong. Can say you are strong in that weakness? Can you say it is done in that matter that seemed undone? Can you say something? Can you do something? Oh, yolo soto bale gazota. In kabale so soto bale hayakate. I will not just watch things happen. I will press. I will be the first. I will be the first to touch Jesus. I will press. Jesus. A man was 40 years by the pool. And could not be healed. 38 years. Because he couldn't press. He had excuses. All manner of excuses. Before I want to enter, somebody will enter before me. Nobody can help me. I don't have relations. Lame excuses. What do I call it? Excuses is folding your legs and taking a clutch. Excuses hand over clutches to you. You see, if not for that witch in my village, I would have been doing well. That's my problem. You know, that landlord there, I would have been prospering now. That my brother who had not helped me. Otherwise, lame excuses. Those who don't press give excuses. If you have excuses, you have to wait until one day when God will remember you. Maybe 38 years after. Say, God forbid, I will press. But those excuses look genuine. They don't look genuine. If I want to enter, someone will enter before me. I have no man to help me enter. And my question is this. Since the angel of God comes once in a time to steer the water, and I've been here for a long time, why not you go soak your leg in the water there? Are you hearing me now? Soak your leg there, or anytime it comes. You didn't hear me now. You see, you don't have heart. That's the problem. We don't have heart for things. And Bible already told us it's for pressers. We don't have heart for things. Hey God, if you want to do it, do it. You see, anyhow, I will still be thanking you and loving you. Hey God, hey! The man pressed. There's someone here today. You are pressing in. You are pressing in. You are pressing in. You are pressing in. I don't care what you have lost. But you will press in and recover it. For everything is where? In Christ Jesus. Your peace, you will recover. Your joy, you will recover. Your health, you will recover. Your faith, you will recover. You will press in. You will press in. You are pressing when you take action from your heart that touch someone. When you touch me, you will know that you have touched me. How will you touch me? When you do your best towards me. When you do your best towards God, you have touched God. Katie Kuman said, when I die, write on my tomb, this woman did her best. Write it on my tomb. Say, this woman did her best to serve God. Can it be said of you that you have done your best? Ask me, that was I said. When I die, write on my tomb, this is a man who went everywhere he's told to go. What have you done? How can you just come and stroll into the kingdom? The Bible says that from the day of the Baptist, the kingdom suffers what? And the man does what? Take it by force.
pause. I want to give you a time now to press through your voice, to press through your words, to press through your decision and receive your healing now and declare your place now and receive your miracles right now and touch Jesus. Take decision. What are you going to do? We are doing EEE now. I'm going to win 7 souls these 7 weeks. I'm going to touch Jesus through my soul winning. I'm going to touch Jesus through my giving. I'm going to touch Jesus through this one project I will do. Through this support I will give. Through this action I will take. I'm going to touch Jesus through this vow I will fulfill. Through this sacrifice which I made, which I will fulfill now. I will touch God through this, through that, through that. I will touch Jesus. Open your mouth and pray now. Worship the Lord, everybody. Open your mouth and place your demands. Can you take something from Jesus? Take something from Jesus. Because all the promises are cash and carry in Jesus. All the promises are cash and carry in Jesus. All the promises are cash and carry in Jesus. All the promises are cash and carry in Jesus. Of God, all the promises 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 of God. In the name of Jesus. The glory of God is here. The glory of God is here. Jesus.